Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Crystal Quest Show with John Dennis Govert and Happy Hara on HealthyLife.net, positive talk radio, where we explore crystal energy, astrology, earth mysteries, metaphysics, and spirituality. I am your co-host, Happy Hara, and I'm here with our other co-host, John Dennis Govert. We are exploring interplanetary information today. We're discussing other star systems, portals, time travel, other dimensions, and the future evolution of the sun and the earth. And all of this is somehow connected to the Sirius star system. Sirius, of course, had major significance for the Egyptians. In the summer, Sirius would rise over the Sphinx before the sun would rise, and to the Egyptians, this would announce the impending inundation or flooding of the Nile. So, anciently, Sirius was a star that was used as an announcer or divine forecaster for the Egyptians. John Dennis, you and I have been reading a book titled The New Syrian Revelations, Galactic Prophecies from the Sixth Dimension, written by Patricia Corey. Of course, this book is a timely theme for us all. According to the book, we are in a time of immense upheaval, and that this would be the last phase of our passage out of the darkness and into illuminating states of consciousness and toward the light of planetary renewal. So the theme of the book is at a massive scale. John Dennis, as an astrologer, since you are an astrologer, I was just curious to ask you, what does Sirius mean for us in astrology?
Sirius is like one of, you know, maybe the six most important stars that we can see in the sky, and clearly it is the brightest star in the sky, hands down. So it's like if there's a star that you can't miss it. You can miss other stars, but you can't miss Sirius. And it's connected. It's the alpha star of the big dog, Canis Major. And it's, I would say, you know, it had a lot of different things said about it, but I think a good one is it's connected to like the mundane, the usual, as it becomes sacred. I would say that's probably one of the biggest things. And so, if this star happens to be, you know, like conjunct or opposed to any of your planets or, you know, it's on a cusp of a house or something like that, it means that you have more than just a passing connection with this star. And you may get the shivers every time you see it or every other time you see it in the sky. But that's how important it is.
Well, I mean, John Dennis, I know you have. I think you've told me that you have Sirius connected to your sun somehow. So it's just interesting you're talking about this.
Yeah, it's conjunct. It's conjunct.
So do you get the shivers every time you see Sirius?
Yeah, I do. It's weird, and you know, I can see it appears a little bit blue to me, and then of course, in, you know, connected it with in Tibetan Buddhism, it's connected to one of the great protectors of the high Dzogchen or great perfection teaching. So I mean, it's I definitely resonate to it.
Yeah, so cross-culturally, it's been a very important star. Well, today we have a special guest with us to help us explore Sirius and these exciting topics. Patricia Corey is author of the book, The New Syrian Revelations. Patricia is an internationally acclaimed author and thought leader who has published 14 books. She is the former host of the popular BBS radio show, Beyond the Matrix, and she has been a guest on hundreds of radio and TV programs, including CNN and Coast to Coast FM. Some of her previous books include The Cosmos of Soul, Atlantis Rising, hacking the God code, the conspiracy to steal the human soul, and, of course, the new Syrian revelations, which we'll be talking about today. Patricia, welcome to the Crystal Quest Show.
Thank you, my crystal friends. It's wonderful to be with you.
Yes. So it says, in like one of the bios I read, that you live in Portugal. What part of Portugal do you live in?
I live in the Azores Islands, which are almost in the middle between the coasts of mainland Portugal and the North Atlantic continent, a little bit closer to Portugal. So they are considered Portugal, nine islands, but they do have a certain amount of autonomy as well. So I'm right in the middle of the ocean here, coming to you live.
Wow, that's so exciting. It's almost like you're on another planet. So, you know, I asked about Portugal because I was in Portugal a few months ago, and I wasn't out on the islands. That sounds really exciting. All right. So anyway, we would love to discuss your new book with you. And I mean, you know, there's some really interesting topics, but before we get too deep into it, I think we need to start right at the beginning. Like, what, tell us about your connection with Sirius.
As a child, at the age of 4 years old, my mom told me that I walked into the kitchen one day and said, "Mom, you know I'm not from here, don't you?" I was four. And by the way, this was in the 50s, so the lingo of multidimensionality and galactic terminology was not common, even in adult language, much less with children. And she looked at me, she said, she was busy cooking, "Where are you from, honey?" And I said, "I'm from another dimension, I'm from a parallel universe. But you're not ready to understand that quite yet." And I walked out, leaving my mother extremely bewildered. But, you know how parents are with children and their imaginary lingo and beings, et cetera. So she kind of brushed it off. But I continued to bring forward all of this galactic information. And when I do, what I do remember is the first time in kindergarten, we had to do show and tell in America. I know you know what that is, where you bring something to show the class, and so doing that, you develop your communication skills. So in kindergarten and first grade, they use this technique. And when I went to show and tell, I brought a box of crystals, some Indian arrowheads that I had found in the yard because we lived in the mountains in San Francisco Bay Area. And I proceeded to grab a kid from the class, lay him down on the floor, and do a crystal healing on him. And the teacher was aghast. She said, "What are you doing, Patricia?" And I said, "I'm doing a crystal healing." And the kid went under big time. I mean, he was hypnotized or whatever you want to call it. He was out. And it so freaked out the teacher, she made me stop, and she called my mother and said, "We've got to talk about Patricia. She's behaving very strangely." Of course, considering how strange things are today, that was nothing. But my mom said, "Did she do something bad?" "No." "Did she offend anybody?" "No, but we really need to talk." So when she described in a parent conference with my mother what I did, my mother said, "Patricia is a very special child, and I don't want you to hamper her ability to express what she sees. If you do, I'll yank her out of the school. Unless she does something to hurt anyone or to offend, back off." So I was blessed with this mother who nurtured that psychic, otherworldly aspect of this little child. And I grew up all of my life talking to these beings. I called them the little blue people. They were from Sirius. And we know, of course, that they're not little people. They're energies. And so these energies of Syrian emissaries were coming to me disguised, if you will, as little blue, almost like little Tinkerbell beings, and communicating to me all the time of multigalactic reality, multidimensional reality, my mission in as an emissary on this planet, et cetera, et cetera, all through my life. The first contact I can say was that memorable was that moment that I told my mother I wasn't from this planet. And so over the years, I've had moments where these abilities have spiked, and I've known I was in touch with these Syrian beings from that youth, but it really catapulted in my spiritual journey in 1997 when I went to the Julia Set Crop Circle in England. I was well on my spiritual path, and I was in England doing a chromotherapy course in a college there, and I had a dream that I was flying over Stonehenge, and I saw a big spiral in the grass next to it, and it was so real. I in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I heard a voice say, "Pay attention. This is a lock-on point for interdimensional contact, and it's going to be very important. Wake up." So without wanting to rant here, I woke up at 4. It was 4 on the dot. And later, when I recounted this to the other women in the course, one of the professors was listening. He said, "Patricia, you're not here for this course. You need to get into that crop circle, and I'm going to take you." And so he did. And when I got into the crop circle, I had an out-of-body experience that was beyond any kind of meditation or astral journey, any experience of the many I've had in my life. Nothing was as powerful as that. I went out of my body for 2 hours. And in that experience, spinning out of 3D, I was shown the multidimensional universe, and I was brought into contact with these six-dimensional beings. So the Syrians that I'm in contact with are 6D, non-physical beings that are not in another galaxy. They're in another dimension. And though that meeting and that journey they took me on was to align me with that consciousness. And as soon as I got back from that trip, I started channeling my first book for them, The Cosmos of Soul, back in 1997. And I've been working for them ever since as their scribe.
So Patricia, you actually answered one of my questions, which was, how do you actually channel them? You explained that really well. And that's an amazing story about the crop circle, too. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, shifting to other dimensions, especially right now. And I'd love to hear you describe a little bit about, well, explain the system of, like, say, dimensional evolution or what the different dimensions represent.
Well, there's a very, let's say, trending concept that we are shifting into the fifth dimension. And that's an interesting concept. Supposedly the Pleiadians are five-dimensional beings. But I don't resonate with that at all, because according to the Syrian High Council, the next dimension is the fourth, logically. And we are swimming into it now, as described in the book. From 3D to 4D, we've got to go through 4D before we go into those higher dimensions where we lose form, where we become light beings. And to be honest with you, I can't really describe them all because I haven't been there yet. But my experience of 6D is because of the years and years and years of bringing through this galactic wisdom from the, or I should say multidimensional wisdom from the Syrians, because they reside in the sixth dimension. So their message, and it's a very big theme in the book, and others of my books, is that our sun is about to ascend into the fourth dimension. And with it, all the planets of our solar system are going into the fourth. So what that means is our sun, for starters, is leaving the 3D physical universe, which is very heady. But as described in the book, if you really examine what's going on with the sun, astronomers are seeing holes in the sun, they're seeing mutation in the gaseous essence of the sun. It's shifting, it's mutating. And some people have been saying, how come the sun isn't yellow anymore, it's white now? I'm sure you've noticed that, haven't you?
Oh yeah, I've been noticing very strange things. The sun, and I take pictures of it, and yeah, there's something there's something very unusual going on. And in fact, while I was reading your book the other night, you know, you start talking about holes in the sun and what that really represents. And immediately I go look on the internet and there's this picture right now on the internet of this huge black hole in the middle of the sun. And so I thought, oh, this is you're presenting a very different way of looking at what's going on with the sun.
Very different. In fact, very few esoterists and, you know, people in the spirit community acknowledge this at all. They talk about our ascension as humans. They talk about Earth ascension, but no one is talking about the sun's ascension. But that's the Sirian information is all about that. Our star is about to exit the third dimension. And so we're seeing symbols of it, the holes in the sun, the weird mutation in the color of the sun. Now, some of that can also be dismissed to how they're blocking the light of the sun with chemtrails. But by and large, the sun's physicality is mutating. And that means, because we are attached to the sun, that all of the planets in the solar system of sun, or the Syrians refer to the sun as Ra, are all going through extraordinary mutation and acceleration in preparation for the moment when we exit 3D. So we have an unbelievable disruption on planet Earth. I mean, every day you wake up going, oh, God, now what? But astronomers and scientists, and for what we can trust coming out of NASA, all the planets are behaving erratically. Saturn is losing its rings. Jupiter is changing color, heating up. The hexagon that's on the...
That's on Saturn.
On Saturn, exactly. There's a hexagonal, undescribable, unexplainable hexagon on one of the points of Saturn. It's shifting. Gaseous clouds are shifting. Planets are heating up, lighting up, etc. And, you know, it's perfectly explained by the Syrians, who say you're going to be seeing all of the planets, even your moon, everything accelerating to a new frequency. And in the teachings of the Syrians, they say you're going to have to go through a difficult time. They call it the desert days. Some people call it the valley of death. Others call it the fire and brimstone, but they call it the desert days. And their point is you'll reach a peak where you're struggling so much in the shift, and then you will get past that blockade of energy and proceed into the dawn. And I believe that we are just about there.
Well, it sounds like a massive alchemical transformation. You probably, what you just described, if you looked at the phases of alchemical transmutation, it sounds sort of like that.
Yeah, it's the losing of density, because as you go higher in the dimensions, you lose physicality more and more, and density, the density of consciousness as well as matter, which of course is consciousness, diffuses and becomes less and less and more light. So we have that to look forward to. It's just that at the moment it feels like, oh my God, when will we release from all of this struggle between darkness and light? To reach
that evolution. Yeah. So do you and through your information from the Syrians have any advice as like, you know, how best like we as humans can embrace this change rather than resist it? Because even those who resist it, it's going to happen anyway. But how can we more consciously embrace this?
The council are always talking about the fact that the ultimate key to evolution is in the understanding that we are immortal beings, and that clinging to the idea of a lifetime as we understand it is a very reductive way of understanding our existence, because it's a short, finite 70, 80, 90 years here in physical form, perhaps reincarnating somewhere else, or perhaps moving up to higher dimensions, depending on your evolutionary spiral, right? And your progress up the spiral. And their message is, don't take life so seriously. Make sure you enjoy the process while you're going through it. No matter how absurd the outer world is, when you leave this planet, you're going to leave regardless. There's no way of escaping that. However that is, whether it's your concept of ascension or death or passing, whatever you want to call it, you're going to leave. Make sure you leave with a suitcase full of love and joy and wisdom and understanding and a miracle of just being alive.
Well, that's beautiful.
Indeed.
All right. So these are big topics. We're going to continue talking about this after this message break. Thank you, Patricia. We'll come back in a moment. Right now, we are listening to Patricia Corey talking about the New Syrian Revelations, her book. And I'll be right back. You're listening to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information that'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
ChintamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly New Moon Crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's ChintamaniMatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show with your hosts Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And today we're continuing our discussion with Patricia Corey about her latest updated book, The New Syrian Revelations, The Galactic Prophecies from the Sixth Dimension. And one of the big themes in this, and actually would be true from what you said in the first section, Patricia, is that humans are not on this, we're not in this galaxy or in these dimensions alone, and in fact we're not, we haven't been alone on Earth either as far as extraterrestrial beings and interdimensional beings being present here. So So could you really talk about it a little bit with respect to the idea of ascension? So in other words, we want to try and give people not like a history of the cosmos from Earth's perspective, but what do we, you know, what do we need to know of the extraterrestrial presence for us during this ascension process of our sun and our planet and solar system?
Well, such a complex question, and I can't give you any finite replies, but my impression. So, for starters, I've been having quite a lot of conversations about this, and that is people talking about reptilians and how, you know, they're underground and this whole rhetoric about reptilians on the planet and greys on the planet and whatever. And I suggested to someone, how do we know that they weren't here before us and that the antagonism that we perceive is because they see us as the extraterrestrials? Because Homo sapiens hasn't been around much more than a few hundred thousand years, right?
Correct, yeah.
So it's an interesting question. It's like, imagine if there are colonies, I believe there are colonies of aliens, quote-unquote, underwater, deep in the deep, as I described in The Emissary, my book, The Emissary, and also we've got so much information about underground aliens, greys, and whatever. And I just like to remind people when they get all freaked out about the fact that could they be out to destroy the human race, I think, well, let's not forget that they may have been here before we were. So, for starters, I wanted to say that. As far as how that affects our ascension, as far as alien intervention on the planet, needless to say, if and when we have proof of contact, and that means arrival on the big picture, the big scene, the big screen, that can't be dismissed as holographic or false flags, but true arrival of fleets of beings from other dimensions, we'll never really understand how we fit in the galactic picture. Going to be an antagonistic force that comes to Earth and says, okay, listen, you guys, you're a problem in the universe, because we are certainly a warring people. If you think about that, I mean, obviously, the spiritual community that we are in wants peace, and we are not of war, but, you know, if you look at the planet objectively, if you were Captain Kirk, you'd be saying, whoa, this planet's on fire. There's no place where they're not at war.
Yeah.
So if you were an alien fleet arriving, you would most likely be arriving either in an aggressive posture or in a defensive posture, prepared to get the smithereens blown out of you. I remember when I interviewed Stan Friedman, noted ufologist, and I asked him the question, you know, Stan, what do you think? Are we going to have a rival in our lifetimes? And he said, well, if we could just stop shooting at everything. But I understand that this battle of darkness and light is on this dimension in the physical universe and in the fourth dimension as well. And so it's playing out. And I truly believe that there are beings of light that are determined to help anchor that light here and to assist us. And there are beings of darkness who are determined to destroy this race, this species, for reasons that are too long to go into, but surely people understand about manipulation of the species, our DNA, and hybrids and all of that dark stuff. But the Syrians reassure us that we're not alone and that the forces of light are involved. And that is very, you know, very comforting to me, because sometimes it feels like this dark force is really winning this war. And then we get signs that, in fact, we're on our way, because the human race is waking up. The ultimate statement of the the battle is, are we going to stay on our knees asleep, or are we going to wake up? And, you know, every day, more and more people are understanding what's going on. So I hope that answers your question. It's kind of a convoluted response to a complex question.
No, it's a good perspective, because it's great, right, because you turned it on its head to start with. Who was here first anyway? So I'm jumping a little bit. You have another book that came out almost the same time as the new Syrian revelations called Hacking the God Code, where you're discussing our DNA and actually how you called it the Syrian experiment of how humanity and a number of beings have altered the what we would call the Homo sapiens DNA pattern, and that's also part of what's happening. I can't even say that it's a molecular level, but it's like it's one of the levels you can see it happening at. So would you address that a little bit, please?
Yes. So rather than altering the human DNA, the Syrians were the masterminds behind the seeding of a new species on a virgin planet Earth, 1,000 years ago. Actually, less than that, more like 150,000 years ago. And they collected seed, and by seed they mean DNA, from
right.
12 different species of highly evolved galactic species, and created a hybrid that they determined would be a 12-stranded, this is the important part, a 12-stranded DNA luminous being with the Christ light of such brilliance that it would be a Christed being. In fact, Christ was retained his 12 strands of DNA, according to them. So this was if you want to look at it as a laboratory, because that's what we do in laboratories now, right? But the difference was their intent was to create an exalted, luminous civilization in a very dark corner of space. They seeded this, let's call it, genetic experiment, because that's what they call it, on the Earth to flourish here. I know we have to take a break, but hopefully I can elaborate on that when we come back.
Yes, absolutely, because it's fascinating, and it's very much to the point of what we need to pay attention to. So we will rejoin the conversation with Patricia on the other side. And I want to remind our listeners that they're listening to The Crystal Quest Show at HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email Happy. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
ChintamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly new moon crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChinTamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's ChinTamaniMatrix.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. We are here with our guest, Patricia Corey, the author of a book titled The New Syrian Revelations. Patricia, I wanted to also ask you, how can people find your book and contact you? Are you on social media?
I'm on Facebook, pretty much predominantly on Facebook, and I'm also, I've got a website, patriciacorey.com. I also have my own podcast, Beyond the Matrix. So they can look up, if they go to my website, they can find the links to my YouTube channel.
Oh,
and
great.
As far as getting the books, they're everywhere. They're in all the online bookstores, and you can also order them. If your bookstore doesn't have the copy, you can always ask them to order it for you.
Yeah. So we'll continue the theme from the last segment. We were talking about DNA.
Yes.
And like the evolution of the DNA or the seeding of DNA.
Yeah, so where I was going with that was, so we were Homo sapiens. In fact, if you know about the missing link, and it's like, where did this species come from? There's a missing link. And it's because we're not indigenous to this planet. And so, which ties in with what I was saying earlier about, are we sure that we are that we're the first civilization to be here? Or the first species. At any rate, according to the Syrians, we were interfered with by by the Anunnaki for reasons that had to do with them wanting to own the real estate, which is the earth. It's quite elaborate in the book, so I hope people will read the whole story there. And they disassembled by using technology. The frequencies of the 12-stranded DNA were shattered, and they took us down to two strands of illuminated DNA, which is our double helix. And that explains why the scientists are still calling 80% of our DNA junk DNA, and they have no idea what it's for. And the Syrians say it's not junk, it's just unplugged. And when you reassemble and put back in that DNA, you will once again acquire Christ consciousness, which is everything to do with ascension. So
I've always felt like, whenever I read about junk DNA, I thought, oh, well, that's where all the really good stuff is.
It's so funny. They've gotten away with it all these hundreds of thousands of years to call 80% of us junk and to call 80%, interestingly enough, of our brain gray matter. And the Syrians say, did you not do the math here? I mean, that's where the 80% of the DNA plugs into the 80% of the brain they can't figure out the function of. And Zippo, you become fully illuminated masters. So I think that this is very exciting information. And in the book, Hacking the God Code, I discuss how the powers that be want to make sure that we don't reconnect that DNA because they want a slave race. They want an AI robotic race, not an illuminated race or a species, which they call humans 1.0. I like being a human 1.0. I'm not going to be an AI robot.
I do, too. And actually, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about AI, because in your book, you had something, you said something really interesting about this so-called future robotic race that it seems like, it seems like there's an agenda to head us towards, or almost like we're actually creating that whole movie Terminator for our future. And it seems like in your book you said that the military is actually has used a portal, go into the future. They saw this, and they're trying to make it happen. And what you said about that was really interesting, because I think you also said that they were looking into the future based upon what their unenlightened intention was.
Yeah, intention is everything. So you're going to create what you intend to create. And therefore, people that are playing around with anything to do with windows on the future and looking glass technology, we need illuminated people to be working with those tools as well, or let's say as a counter to the military abuse of those tools. And I understand from the Syrian High Council that there are guardians and checks to make sure that that imbalance is not breached.
Yeah, that was, I thought that was very, very interesting when I read that part, because I am very concerned about this agenda with AI. Because, you know, if we think we're creating this artificial intelligence, it's only going to be as enlightened as the programmer. So it's like a very dark mirror of ourselves. And then
it
we're
going
to launch this and have this somehow take over?
Well, it'll only take over if we allow it to. I do, you know, right now it's in acceleration hyperspeed, but I'm starting to see already cracks and, you know, people saying things like, you know, AI is dangerous or I don't want to use it anymore. I think that, like everything, I think that it has its moment, its peak, and then it starts to wane. And I just don't believe for a minute that the human race is going to turn over its sovereignty to the Borg. That's what their intention is, to feed us into computers. And, you know, you've got Elon Musk with Neuralink planting computers into people's heads now, trying to dismiss it as useful for people that are paraplegic, et cetera. Meanwhile, you're drilling a hole in a human head, prior it was animals, and placing a computer in, and people that agree to do that are out of their minds, no pun intended. But I think sanity will, I think sanity will reign, and we will, pardon the pun, rein it back in, because I just always say, never underestimate the spirit of the human soul.
I agree with that, and I think this is an important message to come across. Even in checkout lines, you know, they're trying to make us all do our self checkout with all the. I'm always going to the one with a human being because I want to keep that person employed. You know,
it's funny that because here they all of a sudden say I go into the store, the one grocery store we have. And they've got like six rows of these machines. And I refuse to do it. And so the first couple of days they had staff in there trying to help people figure it out. And I went up to the manager and I said, you know, if I'm supposed to use these machines, I have to have a salary because you're using me as an employee.
Right.
I would like to know what it will be. And he looked at me like, oh God, another foreigner. But to my delight, within a couple of weeks, the people were back on the lines at the cash registers, and this area was minuscule because people refused to do it.
Yeah, well, you're giving me some enlightened ideas. It's the next step to take this. So, all right.
My approach is to say no to the authority, stand in your sovereignty, and remember that you are a divine being, and you have every right to live out your life free. Maybe not free with some of the social systems they're imposing, but by cracking, man, when I leave this life, I'm going out as a sovereign being like I came in, period. Nobody's going to control my consciousness.
Well, that's a great theme to end on. Patricia, you know, we've been talking about your book, The New Syrian Revelations, and one of your other books called The God Code. And you said, remind us again, what the name of your website?
PatriciaCorey.com.
Okay, simple. All right. And anyway, Patricia, thank you very much for being with us today. It has been a very enlightened conversation. And, you know, of course, you know, the next time you write a book, we'd love to have you back on our show. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the featured crystal of the month. You are listening to Crystal Quest on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio.
John Dennis Govair, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChinTamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChinTamaniMatrix.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
ChinTamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly new moon crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChinTamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's ChinTamaniMatrix.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information that'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChinTamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page and just email Happy. That's at ChinTamaniMatrix.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show with your host Happy Hara and John Dennis Govair on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And today we're going to discuss in this section the Crystal of the Month, and it is connected to the 19th degree of Aries. So just as a reminder, this degree can show up anywhere in anyone's chart, so if you have it, then the crystal we talk about will be, you know, an important tool for you to be able to use. So the sign of Aries is the first sign. It's of the zodiac. It's a cardinal fire sign. It's initiation, enthusiasm. It's pioneering. It's exploring, innovative. It's the doer of all the doers. But it's like a personal doing. So it's like, especially it inspires people to work with their hands, and to get their body involved. So it's like, you know, it's skills that can be mental skills, but also connect to the body. So a lot of people with this have interest in sports and, you know, like physical exploration, and they're sort of daring. But it is really, you know, the Star Trek thing. To boldly go where no man has gone before. That's Aries. That's the Aries motto. And today the 19th degree connects to an otherworldly manifestation. It connects to black tektite, which is a meteorite that's crashed into Earth. So we're here again, the meteorite or the mineral of the month is echoing or paralleling what our guest Patricia Corey just spoke about. Do you want to explain that in a little more detail, Happy?
Yes, thank you, John Dennis. Well, just so that everyone doesn't think that we're just making this up as we go and try to connect it into the show. I mean, I have right in front of me a book called The Book of Stones, written by Robert Simmons and Nasha Ossian. And in their entry about black tektite, they actually say that some of the keywords are connection with extraterrestrials, telepathic communication, and raising one's vibrational level. And that perfectly dovetails with everything we've been talking about in the show. So it's like totally synchronistic. You know, what is it? Jung said once there's no such thing as a coincidence. So apparently we need to talk about this stone right now. And, you know, curiously right now, that degree of Aries, which is going to be the next new moon, is connected with a total solar eclipse. And so it's bringing in a whole jolt of new energy. And since we've got black tektite on that angle, kind of telling me that next total solar eclipse probably going to be bringing in some interdimensional energy from that's somehow extraterrestrial. So we need to kind of, you know, like this is going to be big. And to kind of clarify a little bit about exactly what black tektite is. So what happens is meteorite comes in to the solar system, impacts on Earth. And some of these impacts some of them can be bigger than a nuclear blast. So what happens is they impact the Earth and they actually transform the actual impact area too. Okay? Like say if there's quartz in the area, all of a sudden becomes shocked quartz and it's almost like it's turned into a different form. And what can happen during the impact is it also produces, you know, an obsidian-like glass, okay, just like in volcanoes. The obsidian is created by volcanoes. It's like a black glass. That can also happen in meteor impacts. So really, black tektites are not meteorites in and of themselves. What they are is they are a byproduct of the blast. So they can combine meteoritic the meteorite impact, like the actual meteorite combined with Earth material. So it's really a completely alchemical transmutation and combination of Earth and meteor material, just going into a whole completely different kind of form. You know, some people collect the actual meteorites, and those are usually heavier and denser, but the meteorite glass is like really another kind of element. So it is glass. It frequently has always been confused with even obsidian volcanic glass too. Because it is a meteorite glass, it's an amorphous crystal structure because it didn't have enough time to actually form a structure. So it solidified before it could turn into a mineral structure. Now, amorphous crystals, you know, the way in which best to use an amorphous crystal is kind of like almost dealing with the chaos principle a little bit. Like, you know, when working with amorphous crystal, it kind of means that you're not caged in by the form. The form is looser. I think it might be good for people working with, you know, making their intentions very crystal clear, but they're a little outside the box. or they're really good for transition and change. Okay. And then because these black tektites were created in such an intense, impactful way, they can have that same effect on us too. They're especially useful for when we want to change our lives. I'm actually holding a really huge one in my hand right now. And I've always considered it like if I read outside of the box wisdom, or like say getting outside the matrix, I will sometimes hold it just to help me get out of my own way when I feel like I'm a little too stuck or fixed or rigid or I feel stuck in my life. I'll meditate with like tektites in that way. I know a very, very famous tektite is moldavite, but that is the green version. A lot of people have heard about that, and that's very useful for making transitions in our life, especially in the heart center. Black tektite is more common. It's a lot less expensive, can be very, very powerful, just like moldavite, but it can have also a little bit more of a protecting, grounding kind of quality because it is black. So it's a little bit more absorbent. And this is one of those kinds of crystals, you know, at first they're not exciting to look at, but once you know them and you've worked with them, you realize they can be some of the most powerful crystals in your collection. So they completely encapsulate the whole energy of like fire and change and transition. So I want to also remind listeners that we a monthly blog on our website, ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com, and we're going to write like a whole blog about just the black tektite. So we can, if you want to know more about that in a little bit more detail, that'll be on our blog.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Happy, for discussing that. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio.